praise the Lord.
What God has accomplished for each one of us. And as we can see, today is a very special Sabbath. It's a high Sabbath for us, where we can come and rejoice in what God has done for you and for me. I'm glad to see so many familiar faces here today. I'm glad to see many new faces here today as well. I praise God that you have chosen to come and worship him on this Sabbath morning. Megan, thank you for scripture reading. She shared with us a very powerful text found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you. That's pretty strong. A new commandment I give to you. These are words that Jesus was sharing with his disciples as they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover. A new commandment I give to you. Meant that Jesus had previously already given them other commandments. And now, this being his last supper with his disciples, seeing the discussion that was going on among the group of who would be first, who would be second, who would have this position, who would have this other position. Jesus took the time to explain to his disciples what it means to love one another. Amen? He didn't just want to say it. He wanted to show it. He wanted to live it. So he took the time. And some disciples were embarrassed. Others were mad, upset. How dare Jesus wash my feet? How dare he take this lowly position of a servant? Jesus wanted to share with them, whoever wants to be first should be what? Last. That's not how our world works, does it, brothers and sisters? That's not how we do what we do. Jesus was presenting this new concept of the law. That was the foundation of his kingdom. So he served his disciples. He washed their feet. He taught them that true love is demonstrated in service. Service to others. And the disciples were shocked. They couldn't understand how Jesus would share this with them. And Jesus went even beyond what it is to love one another. He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Basically, he's saying, just like I have served you, I'm asking my disciples to serve each other. Daunting, perplexing to a group of men who were seeking the first place in this kingdom to come. And he finishes off by saying, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is pretty important, isn't it, brothers and sisters? How will the world know that we are his disciples? If we have love for one another. There's a text in the Psalms. Psalm 133, verse 1, that says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And if I can understand what Jesus was trying to do with his disciples, he was trying to what? Bring them together. He was uniting them with himself, and he was uniting them with our Heavenly Father. Amen? He was bringing them together. He was telling them the great sacrifice that heaven would basically do on behalf of humanity. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that the only way the gospel can be transmitted to others, can change and transform people, families, entire communities, is if it is put into practice. It's easy to think about things, believe things, but the Bible goes beyond in telling us we need to practice it. We need to live it. We need to experience it. We need to show it. And I praise God for the Fallbrook SDA Church. This is a church where we can see God's Holy Spirit manifesting himself as we serve one another. Go with me to the Gospel of John, and we will be looking at a prayer that Jesus shared with his disciples. In John 17, Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus is there praying to the Father, asking, pleading. Verse 9 tells us, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." Verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one." As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In the Gospel of John, you have these phrases where Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, the world will know that you are my disciples." How will the world know that we are Jesus' disciples, brothers and sisters? If we what? Abide in his word. If we study his word. And I praise God for our Sabbath school classes here at Fallbrook, because we take the time to study God's word. I praise God for our prayer meetings, because we take time to study God's word. Young people who are here today, I want to share with you an incredible secret. If you take time, even if it's just a little bit of time, to study God's word, you will see a change in your spiritual life that your parents will notice, that your church will notice, that your friends will notice. If we abide in God's word, if we Study God's word. If we put those words into practice, God says the world will know that we are his disciples. Jesus said again, if you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. If you serve each other, and I praise God again for your example. Pastor Ivan shared last week, Pastor Greg and I have the opportunity to hear many reports of church members sharing what God is doing through them. And sometimes it's other members who are sharing. I know someone just this week took one of our members to the ER. And the ER was far away from our church member's house. But he took the time to take him. I heard of another church member who spent the night at the neighbor's house because she had just had surgery. And she was there to tend for her needs, to encourage her, to let her know someone cares. I know of church members who've come to this church to help because somebody broke in and broke some doors. And they came in just a matter of minutes or hours. They make it look easy. It was fixed. Other members that visit each other, pray for each other, take food for each other. Brothers and sisters, this is how the world knows that what? We are Jesus' disciples. And Jesus, in his prayer, said, Father, may they be one. Just like we are one. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that this is only possible if we ask for the Holy Spirit. Amen? We live in a divided world. Everything around us speaks division. And God says, if we are one, we will let the world know that Jesus is our master, that Jesus is our Lord, that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Son of God. Amen? We all understand that life happens. It's not always easy. And even the Bible tells us of many strained relationships. Genesis chapter 32 tells us the story of a brother who was going back home to see his brother. The story of Jacob going back to visit Esau. Genesis chapter 32. He was coming back with family. He was coming back with possessions. He was coming back with employees. He was coming back because there was something that was missing. Something that needed to be made right. And for all these years, he had had this heavy burden upon his shoulders. Esau, his brother, was really mad at him. So mad that he had to leave home. So mad that he left only with a staff. Went to his uncle Laban. Got married there. Was coming back now with 11 children. And the Bible tells us that Jacob was willing to risk it all to make amends with his brother. He was worried. He had to strategize, and he said, I'm going to have to divide the camp in two. I'm going to have to send some gifts to my brother, see if this will appease him. But he heard news from the messenger that he had sent, or several messengers that he had sent. When they came back, they said, your brother Esau is coming, and he's not coming alone. He's coming with 400 men. And yes, they are armed men. Where do you go when faced with difficulties and challenges? Where do we go, brothers and sisters, when no one around us has the solution? Jacob went to the place that we are all invited to go. Amen? He went to God. And he pleaded with him. He prayed and said, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, you promised that you would make me a great nation. You promised that my descendants would be as the sand of the sea. Does God keep his promises, brothers and sisters? He keeps his promises. And as Jacob felt all alone with this incredible and difficult decision as to how to encounter his brother, what to do when he would see him, the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord, God himself, appeared to Jacob. And they wrestled. They fought. How do we fight God, brothers and sisters? How do we fight God and win? The Bible tells us that Jacob humbled himself. Amen? He recognized, I've messed up. It's my fault that my brother's angry at me. But God, if you could take just this thing, if you could take this heavy burden from me, if you could just give me this peace that surpasses all understanding. The only thing I'm asking for is your blessing. Jacob would not let go until God would bless him. There's some quotes from Patriarchs and Prophets, and I'm going to ask if you could just go to the next slide. It says, through humiliation, repentance, and self-surrender, this sinful, erring mortal prevailed with the majesty of heaven. He had fastened his trembling grasp upon the promises of God, and the heart of infinite love could not turn away what, brothers and sisters? The sinner's plea. Hallelujah. Is that grace, brothers and sisters? We have an amazing God. God basically told Jacob, you're no longer Jacob. You're going to be Israel now. Because you have prevailed. You've fought with God and man, and you have prevailed, Jacob. You've won. Our next slide. Jacob had received the blessing for which his soul had longed. His sin as a supplanter and deceiver had been pardoned. The crisis in his life was past. Doubt, perplexity, and remorse had embittered his existence. But now all was changed, and sweet was the peace of reconciliation with God. What is communion all about, brothers and sisters? It's about reconciliation, being one with God and being one with each other. Is there great peace in knowing that we have been forgiven there's great peace. And praise the Lord that forgiveness is available daily for each one of us. The only thing we need to do is ask, plead, pray like Jacob. Jacob no longer feared to meet his brother. God, who had forgiven his sin, could move the heart of Esau also to accept his humiliation and repentance. Patriarchs and Prophets continues on by telling us that Jacob, as he was fighting the angel, God was also warning Esau, "Leave my servant alone. Jacob is mine. I am with him." And Esau saw in a dream, in a vision, how his brother had been suffering throughout all these years for their relationship because of their strained relationship. And she tells us that as these two men met, these 400 rough, tough guys saw their leader, Esau, embrace Jacob. The Bible tells us that when Jacob saw his brother, it was as if he had seen God himself. He told his brother that. "Brother, it's like if I've seen God." They embraced, they cried. And we can say, brothers and sisters, God is powerful. Amen? What seems impossible for man is possible for God. He can move hearts. Is there power in prayer? There's power in prayer. There's power when God's people come together like today to celebrate what Jesus Christ came to share with us. It's a simple message. It's not very complicated. It's practical. And it's possible through the power of His Holy Spirit. Does our world need to hear this message, brothers and sisters? Yes. Our world needs to hear this message. I read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, that says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I believe that for these times, God is inviting us as His people to come together, to dwell together. The Bible says it's good and pleasing for us, and it's good and pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Is that something we want to do, brothers and sisters? Do we want to abide in God's Word? Do we want to love one another? Do we want to invite Jesus to dwell in us, and we in Him? I think those are the things that we find in the Gospel of John that invite us to proclaim that God has sent His Son to this world because He loved us so much. And He sent Him to die so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have the privilege today to participate of the bread and the grape juice that represent the sacrifice that Jesus did on behalf of us. We also have the privilege of going into our fellowship hall and participating of foot washing. This is something that we as a church practice. We take the time to wash each other's feet. And it's only a symbol of what it means to serve one another. Amen? And what it means to love one another. And as we practice this, I ask, brothers and sisters, that we will pray for each other. Amen? that nothing will tear us apart, that we will hang on to Jesus, that we will also embrace each other, encourage each other. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen? And Satan is really mad, isn't he? And he will try everything he can to bring division in our own life, in our own home, in our own church, in our own community. But by God's grace, we will be one with him. Amen? And by this, we will tell the world that we are his disciples. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be able to participate of these rituals that are a reminder to us of what the gospel is all about. And Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and minds. Help us to put others first. Help us to serve one another. Help us to love one another. And we again recognize that this can only happen through the power of your Holy Spirit, who we ask today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.